Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster for Mile High Sports, coming to you after the Avalanche's back-to-back in California, where they went into San Jose on Thursday, Anaheim on Friday, and came out with a 4-2 victory both times, winning two in a row to improve to 20-15 on the season. One night it was Mackenzie Blackwood. The next night it was, of course, Scott Wedgwood in goal for the Avs. And Colorado is going to return home on Sunday for one more game before the Christmas holiday, hoping to enter the holiday pause on a three-game winning streak. So that's the gist of what's gone on this past week. Let's dive a little bit into what has worked for the Avalanche. And I think the biggest factor here, obviously, and I'm not breaking any news, is of course the goaltending. This is an Avalanche team that we know last week when they were at home was dealing with some kind of an illness running through the locker room. And then they get back on the road, they go into Vancouver, and the only wood not left on their team, and that's Kiefer Sherwood, lights them up for three goals, and Valentin Nichushkin scores with 45 seconds left, and that's the only goal they get. Then they have 2 days off to kind of sulk and sink in the fact that, you know, they gave away a pretty winnable game against a team that at home hadn't really played that well this season and was kind of stuck in a little bit of the rut in the Vancouver Canucks. They just so happened to be finally the redemption game for Thatcher Demko's season in his third appearance. His first two didn't go great. He finally figured things out against the Avalanche. So that's always tough as well. But something that's really happened here with the Avs in recent games is they're not getting all that many shots on goal. And, you know, shots on goal are down around the NHL in general. But the Avs, you know, going back the last couple of weeks, they were outshot 30-25 by the Red Wings. And that was a game that Georgiev played. That was, in fact, Georgiev's last game with the Avalanche. And that was a game where I think Detroit had, I was there, it was like six or seven shots in a 17-second span late in the game when they pulled their goalie. And the Avalanche came away with a 2-1 victory. Then the next night, they go into New Jersey. They only put up 24 shots. New Jersey has 25. It's well documented. That's the Scott Wedgwood shutout game. Against Pittsburgh, 27 shots apiece. They smoked them 6-2. Against Utah, they get outshot. They outshoot them 24-23 and lose 4-1. They give up 39 shots to the Nashville Predators, but they win 5-2. That's the game where Mackenzie Blackwood made his debut with the Avalanche. And then obviously they outshoot Vancouver 31-25, but they were the team that was trailing. They were the team that was chasing for the entire night. And they outshot Vancouver 12-5 in the third period. So that's where they pretty much had the difference in the game of outshooting them by six shots. And then that brings us to California. It brings us to a road trip that the Avalanche over the last several seasons often do really well in. You know, I remember a time when Matt Duchene and Paul Stastny, Ryan O'Reilly, back in like the early years of those guys' career, where going to California for the Avalanche meant coming away with one win out of three, if you're lucky. Like, they would get destroyed by the LA Kings. They would get destroyed by the San Jose Sharks. They would get beat by the Anaheim Ducks when all three of those teams were consistently playoff perennial performers. Now you have one team in the LA Kings that make the playoffs, and they keep getting smoked by the Edmonton Oilers before they have a chance to get to the second round. So they go into San Jose, and over the last several seasons, Colorado often outshoots the daylights out of this team. You know, they're usually dominating them, putting up a lot of goals, things like that, and it kind of felt like that was going to be the case again. You know, Valentin Nichushkin scored just 3 minutes and 40 seconds in. It was a power play goal. And then Colorado at one point, I think they were out shooting them 9-4. And suddenly it's halfway through the game and Colorado stuck at like 15 or 16 shots. They just had such a terrible second period. They're down 2-1 and then they come on in the third. They score three times and they win that game, you know. And it's obviously, it started with the Mikko Rantanen power play goal. Finally, the power play wakes up. And then it's two straight goals for Joel Kiviranta to put the game away. Next night in Anaheim. So they give up 34 shots to the Sharks. Next night in Anaheim, Scott Wedgwood comes in. A little bit of a sluggish start. Then second period, it continues. Leo Carlson scores. And then Parker Kelly gets a shorthanded tally. Val Nichushkin scores several minutes later. And then in the third period, Kale McCarr gets a power play goal. Nathan MacKinnon adds an empty netter after Killorn made it a one-goal game. But the Avalanche get outshot 32-23. So they give up 66 shots in California. I don't remember the last time they've done that. I wish I had that stat offhand where they play two consecutive games in California and gave up 66 shots. But the difference, of course, like I said, is the goaltending. And that's been, you know, the freshest, most best kind of addition. And I think for all the many, many trades and the many moves that we have talked about with Chris McFarland kind of totally, you know, losing and missing the bill, things like the Ryan Johansson experiment, things like, you know, trading third rounders for Trenin and for Duhaime. All the many moves that he's made that maybe haven't worked, a lot of them have worked as well, but going out and getting Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood in a 10-day stretch, trading both Georgiev and Anunin, yes, you retained a little bit of Georgiev's salary, but no biggie there, and giving up the biggest assets that you gave up are a second-rounder in Kovalenko. I mean, let's call a spade. They gave up a second-rounder. You know, they got a fifth and gave a fifth from San Jose. That doesn't count. Jovani Smith is a throw-in. To me, that's just a guy. That one doesn't really make a difference for me. Georgiev and Anunin don't matter for me, because any trade you're making for goalies, you're sending those guys out the door because you just don't have space for them and you don't want them anymore. That's the whole point of making the goalie trades. So they got Blackwood and Wedgwood for Kovalenko, a second and a sixth. The sixth being the one that went to Nashville. Wedgwood's under contract for the rest of the season and next season at $1.5 million. The expectation is Mackenzie Blackwood's going to be here for several years. He's going to be the next guy. They had Varley for a handful of seasons. Varley was here for quite a bit. I think they got him in 2012 and he left in 2019. So he played, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. He was here for 8 seasons. Obviously, several of those he got injured. A lot of those he was great. A lot of those not so much. But he was here for 8 seasons. After the Varley experiment, you had Philip Grubauer, a little bit of an overlap, for 3 seasons. Darcy Kemper for 1, and it was the one that matters. And then Alexander Georgiev was in his 3rd year before he moved on. The expectation is Blackwood is the next guy. I think the Avalanche are going to try to lock him up for 4 to 6 years, and that's for no other reason other than I just think they believe in him. You know, Wedgwood's only under contract for another 1.5 years. They have mentioned Ilya Nabokov over and over again, but I don't think you're in a bad situation if the young guy comes in and proves that he's the guy and Blackwood hopefully continues to play well. And then you got 2 guys under contract until you got to trade one, which doesn't really matter. You can figure that out then. But, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, if you told me, you know, don't lock up any goalies long term because we have this guy Justus Enunin in the system, I would have said, yeah, that's true. And I feel the same way about Ilya Nabokov. I've got a lot of hype for this guy. But I don't think you're going to hitch your wagon. Oh, yeah, we'll give Blackwood 2 years because Nabokov's going to be ready to take over. You just can't predict goaltending in that way. So I think they're going to try to lock up Blackwood for 4 to 6 years. It's just a prediction. Maybe he only gets 3. 3 is what Grubauer got. 3 is what Georgiev got. But maybe they actually go out there and give him 5 to 6 years like they did with Varley after his first couple seasons with the Avalanche. In that scenario, if that's the case, you have a long-term starter, and in the NHL nowadays, 4 to 6 years is damn long-term, especially when you add on that he came in a quarter of the way into this season. It's pretty good. And then you got a backup goalie in Wedgwood who's going to be around for 1.75 out of a 2-year contract as your backup. Giving up Kovalenko, good player, yes. A second and a sixth. It's pretty nifty work. That's pretty good work if you ask me. So they bring in these 2 guys and it's changed everything. And we're going to talk about some of the things that changed. For starters, 66 shots, they've given up 4 goals. They went into San Jose, they went into Anaheim, back to back. Their bottom 6 needs some help, needs some work. We've talked about that. Granted, the bottom 6 has stepped up, you know. What should probably be a 4th line is playing as their 3rd line in Kiviranta, Kelly, and O'Connor. And they look pretty good. And they scored some pretty big goals on this trip. Logan O'Connor's got a couple points. Parker Kelly scored a big goal. Yoel Kiviranta scored two big goals. And that's just in the last two games. That's just in California. So they ultimately have three notable lines. And then your fourth line is kind of a mixed bag of Ivan, who's struggled really, really badly over the last 10, 11 games. Chris Wagner, Yuri Inala, Giovanni Smith, just a combination of guys that are not really giving you much in terms of ice time or effectiveness for a reason. So it's a three-line team, 66 shots against. The goalies only let in four. Only one goal against in the first period, where Colorado, if you read my good and bad, my post-game story on Friday, Colorado is second in the NHL, second worst, I should say, second from the worst in the league, the second most goals against in the first period. They have given up 44 in 35 games. The only team worse is the San Jose Sharks, who have given up 45. So it's not good. So had it not been for that Val Nichushkin early power play goal against the San Jose Sharks, they'd be tied with San Jose for the most first period goals against. Wedgewood comes in against Anaheim, doesn't let in a goal. Both games combined, the power play steps up. Three goals on eight opportunities. Pretty, pretty good. You want to see those guys start to produce. Val Nichushkin parking his body right in front of the goalie. It helped against the San Jose Sharks. And then we saw him obviously also score against the Anaheim Ducks at even strength. But we also saw Mikko Rantanen get one of those vintage circle-to-circle passes from Nathan MacKinnon and score on the power play. We also saw Cale Makar wire it on the power play. They're starting to figure it out, and that's all they need. They just needed a little bit to get out of this rut. They are still, I believe, ninth, maybe eighth in the NHL on the power play. So, you know, even during that rut, they didn't drop down too much. But goaltending doesn't play a role on the power play. Maybe goaltending plays a role in not giving up a shorthanded goal. And the funny thing is, they did that to Kiefer Sherwood in Vancouver. What goaltending does play a role in terms of special teams, is the penalty kill. I genuinely was curious about this going into this last game, going into the last couple games. How much more comfortable do the Avalanche feel with Wedgewood and Blackwood in goal as compared to Georgiev and Noonan? Not just that even strength, that's well documented, we've talked about that, but on the penalty kill. Because when you're playing on the PK with a goalie that you trust a little bit more than whatever the hell was happening in the beginning of the season with the first two guys, you had a lot of the Avalanche trying to do too much. You had a lot of the Avalanche trying to block a lot of shots. You had a lot of the Avalanche trying to get in every lane, trying to do more than what they should be doing because there was no trust in the goaltending. And as much as people want to feel like that's not a thing, it was a thing. Georgiev and Noonan moved on with an 874 and an 872 save percentage, respectively. Not good. They just were not good. Wedgewood and Blackwood are providing for the Avalanche comfort in the crease. On the penalty kill, the Avalanche over the last two games have given up zero goals, and they've killed off all 10 opportunities. Mackenzie Blackwood was in for the first game. Scott Wedgewood is in for the second game. Each of them saw the PP of the other team five times. Each of them was perfect. Are they the most dangerous teams? Of course not. It's the Anaheim Ducks. It's the San Jose Sharks. They've got some shooters. They've got some killers over there. Macklin Celebrini, Tyler Toffoli, Alex Killorn, Leo Carlson, Trevor Zegras, Mason McTavish. A lot of guys on both of those teams that can do a lot of damage on the power play. We saw Kovalenko getting some PP time as well. So they're not the most dangerous teams, but they do have some talent. But then you have Jared Bednar coming out and answering the question that I had, maybe the question that you guys had as well, about what does the goaltending do for your PK? We always talk about the goaltender is your best penalty killer. And I think that's very, very true. And it's something that the Avalanche, you know, I'm going to pull up the numbers. And the reason why I'm not giving it away all right now and I don't have the numbers in front of me is because this is going to be my topic for my weekly Monday notebook at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Just how important are these goalies? And is this what it feels like to have good goaltending, consistent goaltending, a consistent duo of goalies, something this team hasn't had since both Kemper and Frankie were healthy in the 2022 season? Is this what it feels like? Jared Bednar was asked about his PK, and this is what he said. Quote, and this is courtesy of Corey Mastasek, who was on the road in California for the Denver Post. When we made the goalie switches, you see where our penalty kill is going. The analytics have been good all year. So the PK is doing the right thing. Maybe they're not getting the saves. I'm not putting it on our past goaltending, but he kind of is. But it's Jared Bednar, and Bednar's a nice guy, and he never likes to bury his players, past or present. So let's go back to the quote. I'm not putting it on our past goaltending, because that's not fair either. But goalies have their strengths and weaknesses, and it seems like we've got a couple of guys here now that are really in tune with our penalty kill. Here's the big one. We're getting the saves we need. We're getting the whistles we need. They've just been really sharp. So I'm not going to call out our past goaltenders, but that's exactly what I'm going to do, and rightfully so. Jared Bednar is a nice guy. He went about this in the most professional way possible. Simply put, Wedgewood and Blackwood are making the saves, and they're covering the goddamn puck. They're not letting those rebounds come out. They're not giving up goals. They are the last line of defense. The reality of the PK is you need your goalie because you got four guys on the ice. The other team's got five. It's why power plays have such an efficient percentage. If there is one guy who's got that open look, you need to be able to rely on your goalie to make the save. We are getting the saves we need. We are getting the whistles we need. Bednar's saying two things. Blackwood and Wedgewood are making the saves that Georgiev and Enunin could not. Blackwood and Wedgewood are covering the puck and stopping play in a way that Georgiev and Enunin also weren't able to do. It's a world of difference. So both of those guys come out in California. They face a total of 66 shots. Each of them faced over 30. Each of them gives up only two goals. Each of them comes away with a win. We all saw that very precious pro gamer, courtesy of Guerrilla Sports and Jesse Montano, of Scott Wedgewood, talking about how he hadn't seen his family in over 37 days. He's got an eight-month-old at home. When he was with the Nashville Predators at the time of the trade, the Predators were in the middle of a 13-day road trip. And then he gets traded to the Avalanche. You know, he was here for a couple of home games as well. You know, it's not that the Avalanche haven't played any home games. He was here for a few of those as well, but his wife had still not made the move from Nashville. She's in Denver. He met her in Denver today, Saturday. And he had a really great quote where he said, I've been on the road for 37 of the last 40 days. My wife and kid are now in Denver, so I'm really excited to get there. It's been heart-wrenching to watch her grow over FaceTime over the last month and a bit. When I left, she was barely standing up, and now she's pulling herself up on the couch and checking out FaceTime. That's been really hard on me. There are, like, just, again, and I'm going to say the thing Bednar said because I truly mean it. Bednar had numbers and ways to show that the past goalies were not doing what the current goalies are doing now. I'm not saying that Georgiev and Anunin are bad people. They are not. Georgiev was one of my favorite guys to talk to, especially when you get him off the camera and you talk about literally anything educational. The guy is really bright. He loves to read. He loves art. He loves history. He's genuinely a really smart guy. But when it comes to a role in the locker room, call it simply vibes. Call it leadership. Call it personality. Being a glue guy. Georgiev and Enunin are two reserved guys. Georgiev also would have his, you know, breakdowns and outbursts, which I believe is a big part of why this team just said, fuck this, we're not dealing with it anymore. But those are two guys, you know, English is their second language. For Georgiev, the dude knows like four or five languages. English is further down the line for him. They're not glue guys. They're not personality. They're not leadership. They're not outspoken. Scott Wedgwood's an outspoken guy. This is a leader that the team respects. And I hate to make a comparison because it's a big one to make it, but Scott Wedgwood gives me that Andrew Cogliano vibe of a guy that comes in and just fits, instantly gets the respect of his teammates, and rightfully so. And then you got Mackenzie Blackwood is doing his thing as well. 3 games, 2 goals against per game. He's basically telling the Avalanche, score 3 and you're going to win the game. Blackwood is 2-1. Guess what? The 2 games where they scored 3, they won. The game where they got a goal, 45 seconds left, they lost. Blackwood's given up 2 goals per game. He's also got that personality. He's also a glue guy. He's a little bit newer than Wedgwood. Wedgwood kind of carried the team during that 10-day phase. Outside of when Georgiev won against the Red Wings, it was all Wedgwood. So these are two glue guys that have brought a big piece to the locker room. That California road trip was just another example of it. I can't speak enough about both of these dudes. I'm excited for the fact that the Avalanche are going to be at home a whole hell of a lot more over the next month and a half, because outside of the Red Wings game, I have not been on the road, and I am pumped to talk to these two guys after a practice, off the record, when they have time, after a morning skate, which they do. Goalies don't usually talk after morning skates. These guys do. I'm excited to get to know these guys more because I think they are far more bigger to this locker room than just being the goalies that are 933 and 938 in save percentage. Or 932, I should say, for Wedgwood. 938 for Blackwood. Big pieces of this team, and we got to give the kudos where it's deserved, and that's in Chris McFarland for being able to navigate these two trades. Literally, the second one was made on the 2 months date to when opening night happened in Vegas. He didn't waste any time. And now the Avalanche are winning games. They're 20-15. We are 6 games away from the halfway mark. If the Avalanche can find a way to win 5 of these next 6 games, and I think I said they play Utah at home earlier. I meant Seattle. They play Utah on the road after Christmas. Seattle, Utah, tough game in Winnipeg. Buffalo, Montreal, tough game in Florida. The Avalanche can win 5 of these next 6 games. They're going to enter the halfway mark of the season with 25 wins, which extrapolates to 50. A couple years ago, they had 21 wins at the halfway point. They ended up with 52. This is a team that gets hot in the second half of the season, and maybe it starts now. So with that, I'll see you all at Ball Arena tomorrow, Sunday, December 22nd, 6 p.m. The Kraken are in town. I am so pumped for that game. I'm excited for the Avalanche to be back at home. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.